The Ira Kaufman Podcast is back. Podcast number two of the week. Here he is, the grand sage of Tampa Bay sports in the house. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here, MrJoeBucksFan.com himself. And Ira, you are looking good. Your diet is a few days in. And, you know, we're wishing you luck as you head out to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa Friday night, 5 to 7 p.m., Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Just go to their website to RSVP, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. How are you, Sage?
Doing well, Lee. I was a little nervous in that introduction. I thought when he said grand, I thought he was going to say grand wizard. And I'm glad he didn't say grand wizard. And here's my refrain. Five more weeks. Five more weeks. Now, what sounds better? Five more weeks or President Trump supporters saying 4 more years? 4 more years. 5 more weeks obviously refers to the start of Bruce Arians' first training camp in the Bay Area with his staff of 103 assistants. Steve, you read my columns every freaking week. I know it's driving you up a wall. How many different ways can I say he's got a humongous staff? You got to smile when I keep changing the numbers, 103. I hope people realize I'm being a little sarcastic over here. I mean, it is a huge staff.
Well, here's one for you. You'll like this. You're a movie guy, but I bet you didn't see this movie. Wasn't that great of a movie? And the guy's way overrated. MacArthur, the movie MacArthur, way overrated general. In that movie, another officer referred to MacArthur's staff. He goes, he doesn't have a staff. He has a court. And so you can say that about Arians. He doesn't have a staff. He has a court.
Speaking of movies, and we always like to give little movie updates over here. The missus and I went last week, and we did not walk out of this one.
Superhero movie?
Late night. Late night.
It's B.B. Herman type.
6:30
no,
for you?
No. See, I cut you off a firestorm over here before I can get an extra word in. Emma Thompson, that excellent British actress. And no, she's not related to Bette Midler. Don't give me that look over there. By the way, is Bette Midler feuding with Trump? I think she had a little feud with Trump going on a couple weeks ago. Anyway.
He's got a little bit more power.
Emma Thompson plays a late night TV host. She's had her show for 25 years. The show went stale. She's got a whole staff of male writers. By the way, she don't even know her writers. She's never been in the writer's room, which is, that's shame on her. And they hire a female comedy writer just for a little spice. And it's not a bad movie. We did not walk out, Steve. That makes it a good movie. Didn't walk out.
She's one of those artsy-fartsy actresses, right?
Never mind. She's a fine actress with Meryl Streep.
She's right up there with Meryl. Yeah, I never saw her.
Well, Ira, when you're out there at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, the 2019 XT4, 1.9% APR for 72 months for qualified buyers on the 2019 XT4, which is beautiful, Ira. Since you got that great math score in the region, says 72 months, how many years is that?
98 in algebra, 99 on trig, and 100 on intermediate algebra.
Thank you very much.
And with all this knowledge, I'm writing for Joe Bucks.
Well, I was going to say, with the as sharp as you are about math, a man like you, of your astute knowledge about math, at worst, you'd be an accountant, you'd be making money. Right now, you'd be smoking one of those cigars that Javier.
That's right.
You'd be lounging near a lake, probably fishing with Bruce Arians.
At the very least, Steve, I'd be working for Pro Football Focus, that bogus outfit. Lee liked that one.
Well, you know, I have to hand it to Pro Football Focus for two things.
As a con.
One, they hired Bruce Gradkowski.
Yeah, I saw that. That's their chief analyst? Bruce Gradkowski? I went to his house in 2006. I thought the guy was going to be a stud quarterback. I would have been in like Flynn. The parents loved me. The grandmother loved me. And the next thing I know, he's a backup for 10 years. He lasted 11 years in the NFL.
Well, he's
with
playing
name like Gradkowski, she probably served you pierogies, did she?
Whatever she served it, I scarfed it up. I can tell you that.
You know, he played for a lot of coaches. And he's got still has a lot of connections in the league with players and coaches. But
his brother, I believe, also was a player in the league. He was a center.
One of the things that I love about Gradkowski is when he's on the air, he's on with Bruce Murray on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Gradkowski talks about how he watches every game every week. So does Bruce Murray, and they do. They really do. And, of course, you know, these quarterbacks have a great way of breaking down the game. They may not know as much about some of the defenses as I think they do when you start to really listen to some of these guys. But the point is, I think it's a good thing for the tribe to actually hire somebody who has been in NFL film rooms and really knows what they're talking about. So kudos to them. Now, going back, Ira, for all the folks who did not listen.
Hold on. I'm interrupting you because you interrupted me. Lee, 2 years before Joe Bucks Fan was formed, 2 years. The Bucks had a miserable 2006 season. I believe they finished 4-12. Gradkowski took over. The quarterback got hurt, and there was a famous game when they went to Pittsburgh.
Oh,
I believe they were losing 20-0. There's like 45 seconds left. The Bucks are at the 10-yard line of the Steelers, and Gruden kicks a field goal, makes it 20-3. Now, this is his hometown. He's from Pittsburgh, Gradkowski.
Yeah.
Afterwards, you know, we're buzzing around Gruden, who kicks a field goal to make the score so you don't get bageled. Why don't you go for the touchdown?
What a great verb.
We didn't want the kid to go back to his hometown fans after getting shut out. Mm-hmm. So that was Gradkowski. And that's when the trip had money. They sent me out there for 3 or 4 days. I believe the town was called Dormont, Pennsylvania, suburb of Pittsburgh. I went out there with Bob Hansen from Channel 8. We spent 3 or 4 days. We went to Toledo where Gradkowski talked to his coach. We did the whole thing. And when I got back, I told my wife, boy, if this kid ever makes it, we're in very good shape. Next thing I know, he's a backup for the rest of his career. That's the story of my professional life, Steve.
Was that the time you created a gross mortal sin?
Gross mortal sin?
Gross mortal sin.
Which one you talking about?
You went to Primanti's and hold on to your hats, people. Ira goes to Primanti's and he orders
a vegetable soup. That was a different. That was a lightning trip. Oh my god!
And then when you were cornered,
I never heard
about
the end of it.
When you were cornered about it, your retort was, "It was on the menu."
Everybody else at the table are getting these overstuffed sandwiches. I'll have a chef salad. The waiter looks at me. He goes, I've been working here 8 years. Nobody's ever ordered that."
Well, folks,
I didn't even know they had that on the menu.
Steve, you can't make this stuff up, Steve.
Folks, of course, can Google Primanti's, right? And drool and check out what the guys are talking about.
It's a Pittsburgh treasure.
It's a treasure, period. But yeah, Pittsburgh treasure.
If you didn't catch Lee's, or really didn't understand Lee's Pee Wee Herman reference to start the podcast, you can Google that as well to understand.
Please don't.
What that was all about.
What's on your mind today, Stevie? What's on your mind?
Well, Sage, first, I did not tell you about the offers at Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. The road to summer savings are right there. You know, there's only two Hillsborough County Cadillac dealerships, Ira. That's Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon, where you'll actually be out there with General Manager Hector LeBron. They have all tremendous offers as well. June is wrapping up their pre-owned inventory. It's all on the website, edmoorescadillacbrandon.com. And you can even follow them on Facebook. There are offers there. Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon, 11020 Causeway Boulevard in Brandon. So easy to get to. You never get lost when you go there, Ira, because they feed you. That's why.
You know, I haven't been to Ed Morse, Lee, since I sat down with John Cooper on the brink of the lightning season, which was a historic regular season before the historic collapse. Yeah. So I shared a table with John Cooper for a couple hours over in the showroom. What a beautiful showroom. Anybody who comes out, and I urge our listeners to show up en masse, they're not going to be disappointed. It is gorgeous.
So, Sage, I wanted to mention that in that interview with Bruce Arians, anybody can go back and listen to the three of us sitting down with the head coach.
It wasn't long, but there's some nuggets in there, Steve.
11 minutes of solid interview for sure, and some solid nuggets. One of the nuggets I asked Arians, which was kind of an off-the-wall question in some ways, but I was trying to get more time without asking a Buck-specific question. You know how that goes. You keep squeezing, you know?
Of course.
Well, I asked him, I said, where does the media get it wrong?
I was shocked at that question. That was great.
You were in the media. Where are we screwing up? How can we be better? And Arians, I didn't write this up yet for the website. Maybe I have by the time you listen. But basically he gives a phony acronym for the PFF tribe. And he says, well, this PFGRLGQ, they're telling me this guy's ranked and it's on the broadcast and he's ranked as a terrible defensive lineman. And I think the guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
And Arians basically said he hates the grades from these outfits that put grades on players.
I think they do the best they can, Steve. I'm not questioning their approach, but Lee, it always comes back to one thing for me. Are you sure what the guy's assignment was on that play?
That's just
and you're going to grade him? That's tough.
That's just it. I'm not going to out this guy because I like him and I respect him.
I think they do the best job they can.
Well, I don't know if you call it basis or their backbone. It's faulty, to be polite. But there was a guy.
Premise.
They recently, over the weekend, matter of fact, this person put out a Twitter and said, well, here was who so-and-so, a Bucks defender. I'm not going to say his name because I'll give away what I'm talking about. Here's who so-and-so was supposed to cover. Well, how do you know that? Were you in the film? Were you in the huddle? How would you know that? And that's my complete and total issue. And by the way, Ivor, I don't go to the combine just so I eat at the Indianapolis location of Primanti's, although I do. But I don't go there for that reason. I go there to combine to try to learn, try to cultivate sources, try to gather and gain information. And I have spoken with, fortunately, a lot of NFL suits, coaches, at bars or at the whatever. And their biggest issue, and the tribe can't answer this, and it's about offensive line specifically, how do you know this guy's assignment?
That's a critical aspect,
how can
Steve,
you grade
critical.
This guy when you don't even know what he was supposed to do? I think that's a complete and total leap in faith.
You know, I learned this the hard way, Steve. The true story.
Yeah, you've told
when
me.
I was working at UPI, you know, a guy would catch a touchdown and a safety would come in late. And then, you know, here I am, you know, a young reporter, and I say, you know, beat so-and-so safety. And I come in on Monday, and not the players so much, but the coach. You know, one of the assistant coaches, read the story and reams me out and said, that wasn't his man. He was trying to help out. You got the wrong culprit. So, Steve, you got to be careful with that stuff.
You'll like this, Ira, and this will make you feel better. Bob McGinn wrote about that very subject. He said when he was a young reporter, he walked into the Packers locker room, and he got chewed out by some offensive lineman. That was not who I was supposed to block. You don't know. So it happens to all of us.
Well, the direction I was going with this, Ira, is that media focus, which is what was the question for Arians, basically this stuff is appearing on broadcasts and influencing fans. And if the coaches, the real football people, think the grades are full of baloney, why are the networks agreeing to put this stuff out there for people on broadcasts when they could just simply sit down and do old school kind of stuff like keys to the game or advanced stats, or not that advanced stats would be old school, but they have all this next generation data from the NFL that's real legitimate information off technology in the footballs and on the uniforms. Why are they going with subjective grades from places and people we don't really even know?
Ireland.
And it appears on a network broadcast like a CBS when they're supposed to be, caring about.
What's your answer for that?
I don't know.
They don't have eight guys assigned to this stuff
either. Yeah, I don't know why they do it, but I think the reason why is because the PFF tribe has people absolutely hoodwinked. Grades, got to grades. It's like the NFL mock drafts. I can't stand mock drafts. You and I have talked about this a number of times. And you and I are like-minded about this. But people eat that up.
They're coming out with the 2020 mock drafts. This is crazy.
I saw 2021. This,
what?
Yeah. Yes, I actually saw
what
that.
Did you just say?
2021.
2021 mock draft.
Yeah, I didn't click on it. But it's like, and I agree with you. But
look, let me be very specific. What's not crazy is you want to list the top 25 prospects in your mind for 2021. And you can't link them to a freaking team exactly. When you don't know what the hell the record is. That is nuts.
Preaching to the choir, okay. Iron. I totally agree with you.
That is nuts.
But I think part of it is, and you may call us pandering, but people eat that up. Whether it's good or bad, you know, it's like junk food. We're not supposed to eat junk food, but Lord knows there's junk food.
It's a list. It's a list.
Yeah, people like that. They love that stuff. They love to know. You know, we're in a society right now, and it's not just football. If you can't slap a damn number on it, then it doesn't exist. It's immaterial. And unfortunately, that's the way it is. So grades that get people's attention.
Didn't they have Donovan Smith as like the number 30 left tackle one year or something?
Yeah, I think so. But
something like that.
No, my favorite is when he had O.J. Howard as the worst rookie of his class.
That's classic.
That doesn't. What Steve's saying, I agree with. You know, they throw out these stats, and what do they mean, and who, you know, are they valid? A pet peeve of mine, quarterback ratings. If anybody wants to go
can
ahead.
Can be deceptive. Can be deceptive.
Big time. Just go ahead, anybody. Google all-time quarterback ratings. And if you read that list, and if you come out after reading that list thinking that's a legitimate stat, then I'll buy you
another
beer.
Well, the top guys, most of them are top shelf.
Not all of them.
Aaron Rodgers, I think, is number one.
Who was Kyle Bowler's in like the top 20?
That's enough said, Lee.
Yeah,
that's
I say
Chad more. Pennington might be up.
He
there.
Is, yeah. And I love Chad Pennington, but yeah. I mean, you wouldn't build a franchise around
I
a
understand.
Guy.
Steve, I thought you were talking about the mainstream media. And by the way, Arians didn't want to knock the mainstream media, maybe because he just spent a year in it, right, Steve?
He's always said he likes the media and appreciates him. He's always been known as a media-friendly guy.
Understands the job they have to do, right, Steve?
He does, and I've heard that he's been easy to work with, but he was in Arizona as a head coach, where it's not exactly a tough media town, and
they got Kent Summers, good man.
And they were winning. So we heard from Arians once this year via the Bucks on something he didn't like that appeared on JoeBucksFan.com, but it wasn't any sort of thing that he thought was, an angry kind of thing, but it ruffled the feather, which is okay. I mean, that's the way it goes, but he's clearly a media-friendly guy. He doesn't have a weird leash on these assistant coaches, to the best we can tell. You talked to Tom Moore for your column. Go back and look at that on JoeBucksFan.com.
And he was nervous about it, and I told him he'd been cleared to talk. Yeah.
Yeah, and he hadn't worked for Arians in a while, in that capacity, or at least in a consultant capacity. So that
by the way, he gave me some great stuff on John Lynch. I'll say it in a future podcast, and I will repeat it without question in Miami this February when John Lynch gets in that room for the seventh straight year. But Tom Morley spoke directly about how John Lynch's career has been underappreciated. Mm. And this is a guy who had to prepare against them. And those are the kind of guys that voters want to hear from. Players who played against Lynch and coaches who coached against Lynch.
Just so people understand about the PFF tribe, I'm not in a total condemnation of them. I like some of their
you
stats.
You think they can be useful?
Oh, of course. Yards after broken tackle, stuff like that. And
team trends.
Well, team trends, but I mean, there are some stats that I think are very valuable. Steve thinks they have no value, but I think some, but the grades, I wouldn't wipe my rear end with their grades. Now, real quick here, I Googled all-time quarterback ratings. Here's the top 20. I'm not going to recite it. And like you said, Ira, most of them are top-shelf quarterbacks. But here are some of the quarterbacks with the all-time career quarterback ratings.
Top 20.
Top 20. Here are some of the players in the top 20. Tony Romo, Kirk Cousins, number 9. Really?
Nice.
I mean, okay.
Nice.
Oh, well, here's one. Yeah, like you said, Chad Pennington is number 14. Number 16, Marcus Mariota. He may not return to Tennessee.
Oh, my.
Number 17, Matt Schaub. Give me a break.
Oh, boy.
Number 18, knucklehead Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
Number 19, Derek Carr.
And Derek Carr, who Gruden can't wait to get rid of.
Number 20. Speaking of somebody who can't wait to get rid of the guy. Number 20.
Better not be Jay Cutler.
Andy Dalton.
Enough said, Lee. Enough said. You made your point.
All right, Sage. Now, you have hit on this subject in a column early last week. And, Lee and I have written about it in different ways. I wrote a story because Bill Polian was talking on NFL radio about general managers who don't have a lot of power. And, of course, the guy in Houston got fired, and he was considered a low-power GM because Bill O'Brien has such a strong situation down there. And, Polian talked about low-power GMs, and he doesn't like that model of guys who are sort of figureheadish. And you put it out there noting that Jason Light, all these independent rankings of general managers that are going around this time of year, and the time of year where numbers, and like Lee said, it's all about numbers. This guy's ranked 28th. Well, Jason Light's coming up in the 30s among top general managers rankings. So he's
based on the team record.
Yeah, he's been looked at as bottom of the barrel by the guys looking up from above around the league. And, you think Arians can save his job, or you've had some strong opinions on this. Where do you sit with that?
Lee, I'm going to say this. Look, it's complex. What it seems to be apparent, and we don't understand why, is a disconnect between the players that Arians has been drafting and the scheme that the Bucks have been using before Arians came around. And by that, I mean you're drafting, Davis as a press corner, and he's not used in that way. It's a disconnect.
You're
drafting Noah Spence, and he's not used in that way.
Is that more a coach's issue than a Light issue?
Well, it's complex. I mean, can you really blame Arians for not getting his hands dirty in the coaching room? I mean, that's not his bailiwick. And he hired Dirk Cutter. and he put him in, and you got to let the guy do his job. So,
did he?
Well, we think he did.
Yeah, not the Glazers.
He had expanded powers at that time, once Lovie Smith was fired. As specifically mentioned by the Glazers, he was empowered. So, Lee, it's complicated. So here's what I mean. The Bucks could go 6-10, and it could still shine a positive light on light if guys like Winston, not so much Winston because that could have been a Lovie pick, but guys that he picked, you know, Vita Vea, Noah Spence, Vernon Hargraves, Justin Evans. If these guys have good seasons, Lee, that is going to impact the way that the Glazers look at light, I think.
Even the offensive line.
Even the offensive line. So, Steve, it's complicated, but in a certain dynamic, Arians and his staff of thousands, now it's thousands, Lee, used to be 33, could make light look good if these premium picks that have languished. Suppose Alex Kappa wins the right guard job and does a nice job. That reflects well on Jason Light. So this is the last chance.
Ira, all right, I'm going to come after you now with this stuff.
You're not writing anything down, so I don't expect any blowback from you, Steve.
Don't come after me. We're using the verb language.
You can't make that argument without the flip side. Without the flip side, which is guys who, okay, these two guys are thriving. Great, it looks good for Jason Light that Noah Spence seems to have figured it out and Vea's coming along. Well, what about the three guys who may not make it? Suppose Carlton Davis looks like a bench guy and MJ Stewart is a special teams ace and Ryan Smith is still hanging around looking terrible.
Nobody's going to judge Jason Light on Ryan Smith. nor should they.
Why not? He's still here.
He's not a premium draft pick.
We have to watch him, don't we?
He's not a premium draft pick, Lee.
We have to watch him.
I hope the listeners appreciate what the heck's going on in this
Now,
podcast.
I'm bringing this back.
We have to watch him. That's one of the great lines, Lee.
If I got to look at him, then I got
to. We have to watch
Listen,
him.
Ira.
Steve, my point is that Light couldn't always say it was bad coaching that screwed these picks up. And he's not going to be able to say that this year.
You're the same guy who also says, well, Jameis can't say it's bad defense. He's got to win. Does the Light argument apply to – is that apples to apples with Jameis?
To an extent. But I don't think Cutter's a bad tutor for Jameis. I don't think you can blame Dirk Cutter for Winston's development or lack of. He got scooped up in 3 seconds by the Falcons. The Falcons are not stupid. The guy is a good offensive coordinator. He worked wonders with Matt Ryan, did very well with Ryan, and Ryan welcomed him back. If Ryan didn't want Cutter back, Cutter wouldn't be on the Falcons. You know that, Lee.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I'm sure Ryan picked the offensive coordinator. That's how it probably went down. But all right, you say this is complex, and everything is complex. We're not oversimplifying anything, especially in June. But let's go back to Cutter. His performance in Atlanta, do you think that will weigh any shred on the Glazers of how he and Matt Ryan perform this year? Will that be a factor, even if it's sort of very slim? Will they look to that and say, well, wait a minute?
Well, I think Cutter's a proven commodity as an offensive coordinator. He's far from a proven commodity as a head coach. Is he going to get another head coach job? Probably not. I'd like to see Raheem Morris get a second turn before Cutter gets a second turn. But I understand your point, Steve. I don't think Winston can blame much or if any of his travails on Dirk Cutter fairly. I don't think he can.
I'll lean that way.
I think Cutter had Winston's back throughout. Now, he lost his confidence with that debacle in Cincinnati. He lost it. Well, and that's on Winston.
That's on Winston and his lousy start. Being suspended, that wasn't on Cutter.
And lying to the team about it.
Yeah, that wasn't on Cutter. I lean toward what you say. Now, there are people out there that think Cutter did his best to ruin Jameis. I don't know about that. But he always stuck up for him in public. Always. Always stood up
for him. I guess I'm looking more on the defensive side of the ball, Steve.
I understand. We're going to get back to that. I want to mention three things. One, I did say last week that we would have, because I do a little when you guys are solo, I do a little intro of the podcast, introduce you guys, set it
nice
up.
Nice to think you did some little work since Lee and I carried the water last week.
And I did mention that this week we would have an exclusive interview of Derek Brooks on the podcast. Now, that was done. You were there when Zach, intern Man Beast, Zach Seifter, interviewed
and he said Brooks.
Brooks
was good. He said
and
Brooks
I listened to the interview, which we're going to air on the podcast, but Zach couldn't be here with us for the recording this week. So I'm going to save it since it's his thing. He could talk a little more about it. We'll go do with that next week. But it is good. It was exclusive. Brooks was very
How many
open.
Questions did he barrage him with?
I don't remember if it was four or five, but Brooks gave very long answers, you know, which and Brooks didn't have to do that, which was pretty cool. I think he appreciated that Zach was an intern looking for long answers.
You know,
answers.
Guys, we have to remember, and Steve brings it up quite a bit, which he should. Brooks is very invested in what goes on at one Bucks place.
Yeah.
He's invested with Jameis. He's invested with some other players. He's still strong with Shelton Quarles, who's at one Buck every day.
I hope so.
Derek Brooks knows what's going on.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he's got a lot of clout. There's that word again. And he should.
And may I note that for a lot of the people out there who probably are not listening here at 27 minutes through the podcast, but there are plenty of haters of Joe Bucks fan, Mr. Brooks also agrees and is heartily agrees to putting his name, tying it with JoeBucksFan.com on the Tampa 2 show that appears from the Identity Tampa Bay on our websites, promoted and sold as such. So,
and I want to point out to Mr. DeKemper.
Brooks is no joker.
I want to point out to Mr. DeKemper, while he just disparaging me left and right on this podcast,
no.
that Mr. Brooks refers to me every
Sage?
Week
Sage?
As his esteemed colleague.
There you go.
That is a beautiful phrase coming from number
Better
55.
Than Sage?
And in my book, and I say, I got to preface it saying, I didn't see Leroy Selman play. I came in 85. Selman retired after the 84 season. I missed him. But as far as I'm concerned, from what I saw, Derek Brooks is the best player that I saw wearing a Bucks uniform. Mm.
And Brooks did call you, Sage, on the last couple of broadcasts.
I think he did.
He did. So he's
paid him. I paid him, but he did.
He's adopted the Sage name. So that's a good interview. There's some good stuff in there. And so we have more content coming for the website off that as well.
I don't know where you came up with that intern, but... he's been invaluable, Stephen.
That's always just
he's certainly worth what you're paying him over there. We'll leave it at that, DeKemper.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
Every nickel.
Ooh, we'll leave it right
All
there.
Right. So, Sage, we have to remember, while we listen to the podcast, we visit EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com, online shopping for cars. That's how it goes. So you're wearing your gear, and you are always expressing that. Now, going back to light. Can the Bucks go 6-10, 7-9, and the fans are going to be screaming for something? I mean, someone has to take the fall, and I think the way you're setting this up here, Ira, you're sort of looking for Winston to take the fall if they go 6-10.
I am, unless Winston has an incredible season. Yeah.
And if they, you sort of said with Drew Brees on the previous podcast, if he goes 7-9. Well, 7-9 is a different animal than 6-10, 5-11.
Well, that's not my main argument about Brees. My main argument was he had a body of work.
I understand. I just think the light thing, I look at him at this point 100% as personnel guy who is under the all-powerful head coach. Doesn't mean light's not doing anything, but I don't think there's any shame in being a GM that doesn't have as much power as the rest of the guys. I think the Glazers know that, and that could save light. His lack of power could save him. You buy that?
Well, I think it comes down to those four or five guys that, you know, the Hargraves, the Vita Veas, the Noah Spences, the Carlton Davis. Steve, if they play well, all of a sudden, Light's draft doesn't look so bad. The 2016 draft can be resurrected around Hargraves if he plays well, and you can't say that it's a total bust. And if I'm the Glazers, that's kind of what I'm looking at. Light as a personnel man, I don't think Arians is in any hurry to throw Light overboard, even if they go 4-12.
No.
He's not, and Light knows that. I'm going to make the decision based on how did these guys that Light drafted and have underperformed to date, how did they do in 2019? That's how I'm going to base my decision about Jason Light.
All right, Sage. Well, you know, of course you did call to have him be fired. So you're
and I did.
So you'll reevaluate his firing status.
I went 1-2. I called for Cutter and Light as a tandem and got chopped down the middle, and now I got to deal with Mr. Jason Light.
You know, Light invited Lee and me for the July 4th barbecue. Were you invited, Ira?
I think I'm going to Sapp's place in Apopka.
All right, I'm just kidding. Final subject, Ira, and it was a one that drew a lot of fans' ire, at least percentage-wise, in the comments – at JoeBucksFan.com. Eddie Encina, reporter at the Tampa Bay Times, the pay-per-view website there. He talked to Ronald Jones and the coaching staff for a little feature on Ronald Jones. And running backs coach Todd McNair said that Jones was dealing with some anxiety. And he was getting him past the anxiety issues. And, you know, that's not an exact quote, but the anxiety word is the exact description that Todd McNair used.
And what does that cause for Buck fans? Anxiety.
Please. Now, Lee wrote about this story, and a lot of people thought, oh, my gosh, how could you overblow the coach saying that the rookie running back had anxiety or whatever. I thought it was very legitimate. That's not a word you hear around football for a running back who's most of them love grabbing the darn football and hitting the hole. Your thoughts?
Lee, anxiety is a different word and a different concept than confidence. If a guy says that Ronald Jones needs to run with more confidence, I can deal with that. Anxiety, you know, Lee, they're all over the map on Ronald Jones. But it's obvious that there's something more than just the playbook and his running style. I don't know what it is, and they don't want to talk about it, Lee. But there's something there. Am I wrong?
When I read that quote, this is what went through my head.
What is that? The medics coming? Lee's got sound effects on the podcast, Steve. Unbelievable.
This is what went through my head when I saw anxiety with a running back. I mean, you know, like you mentioned earlier, Ira.
Now, we don't want to make light of you know, mental issues.
Well, I mentioned that in the story.
We make light of yours all the time.
Yeah, that might be
unfair game, Steve.
That might be overblown a little bit. When he dropped the word anxiety, like you said, I've never seen an NFL running back give me the ball. I can get a touchdown. You know, I can get a first down. I can break a couple tackles. I can move the ball. I've never met an NFL running back. No, man, I'm good. No. That also reminds me of what Jason Light always said. The vast majority of the mistakes you make in the draft are from the neck up, right there. And now,
but Lee, from everything we've been hearing, mm-hmm. mostly from Arians, he's made a lot of strides.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I've seen him make a couple plays in underwear football practice, a couple. And I'm starting to think this is some kind of campaign by Arians and company to build up his confidence.
You know what?
To get
That's
him over,
well said,
to get over this anxiety, quote-unquote anxiety.
We trust you. We have faith in you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hope, for goodness sake, I hope the guy runs for 1,500 yards this year and a dozen touchdowns.
There's a reason he didn't touch the ball for the first three games last year as a rookie. There's a reason. And whether he couldn't pick up the playbook or something was going on, that's not normal for a second-round pick, Steve.
They were throwing for 400 yards in every game.
But you give him a couple of carries.
Sure.
You
know. Yeah, a couple.
Look,
he had none.
The Ronald Jones situation is a mystery. There's no doubt about it. It is a huge mystery. I agree
They don't want to go in detail about it.
I agree with Lee. There is some form of a confidence campaign going on with Jones.
Yes.
Build him up at all. Jameis was on the bus.
Yes.
Arian's saying on your podcast, Ira, fans go back and listen. It's on Joe Bucks Fan, iTunes, Podbean,
Stitcher,
Google Play. Where
Network wanted it.
NFL Network wanted it. Arian said he's never seen anybody run like that in the spring with the speed and the cuts.
Oh, boy.
I mean, come on. Run like that in the spring.
Come on. You had David Johnson on your team for a couple of years.
He's had a lot of other good running backs as well.
A certain Hall of Famer?
You're not talking about Adrian Peterson. Well, you're talking about Peterson as well.
But he didn't have him in the spring. You're right.
I understand
It seems to be an orchestrated campaign.
It does, and that's fine. The anxiety thing, though, people didn't like that. Do you think Lee crossed the line making a big deal of that word choice?
Well,
and that's not a word I used. That came out of his position, Coach.
Lee's
mouth.
Point in this regard is well taken. It's not a word you often hear applied to a player. It's just
especially
not.
A running back.
It's just not. Doesn't mean there's anything, you know, that can't be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're doing their darndest to fix it. Bottom line, Ronald Jones is one of the guys that the three of us and Zach, our great intern, are going to be monitoring. Zach will be all over Ronald Jones, every move he makes, just like watching me at Ed Morse Cadillac.
All right, Ira, last
question.
We'll go out on this question. Outside of Jameis Winston, is the most important guy to stay healthy on this team Peyton Barber?
You could make that argument. You could make that argument. You could say Mike Evans, surely. You could say Donovan Smith. You could. Sue, I'm not going there. Or Levante David, I'm not going there. You could argue Peyton Barber. But you know what? I'm not going to say Peyton Barber. He doesn't have the body of work. And, Lee, the one thing we know about this league, you can go out and find an adequate running back. You can't find Emmitt Smith, but you can find an adequate running back. And that's why your new head coach, Lee, doesn't want to overpay for the running back position. And I agree with him. Get out of here, Steve.